Welcome to News Bites. Today, we are talking to Pete Goddery at Goddery's Tree Farm in Johnstown, New York. Welcome, Pete.
Thank you.
Tell us about, first of all, how the business got started, maybe a little history of the farm. I know you've been in business here for 55 years.
Yes. The farm's been family almost 100 years. About 1930, my great-grandfather moved down when they flooded the Sacandaga Reservoir. So he had a farm up there, and it was a small dairy farm up until about 1960. And on the passing of his wife, he sold half the farm off. It sat vacant for about 10 years, and my parents decided to start growing Christmas trees in 1970 to put my brother and I through college. Ironically, it never really made any money until we were out of college. And so anyway, since then, we Mike and I took it over in the mid-80s. And in about 2000, we wound up buying the other half of the farm back, which was sold when my grandfather passed. So anyways, we've got about 250 acres here now, and we've been doing it since 1970, expanded into nursery stock as well as Christmas trees. So
great. That's a great testament to being in business for so long and growing the business. So what about tradition? Talk about family tradition. I'm sure you probably see the same people, the same families coming.
Oh, yes. It's great with this business. You see the families come in, and it's over the years, you've seen the children come back in and the grandchildren come back in. And it's pretty interesting. In the cut your own, it's usually the younger families that come in and want to do the cut your own. I think a lot of the people, when they get to be our age, are just happy to get a tree, you know, pick a tree off the lot and you go home.
So, right.
Yeah.
And speaking of trees, what varieties of trees do you grow?
Right now, Fraser fir, balsam fir. We've got a few new hybrids, Korean balsam cross, which has been a new one. And we're always experimenting with other ones. There's a handful of, we had some Lazio cross, concolor fir, which are a beautiful tree, but they're very slow growing. So we're looking at that angle too. What we can grow quickly and turn over versus certain trees that may not be native to the area and struggle. They're popular trees, but it's all economics at the end, what you can turn over the quickest on some of these blocks.
Right. And are some trees known for certain things, like not shedding or maybe
Yeah, by far, Fraser fir are the ones that will retain their needles the best of all the trees. They're also probably one of the more site-selective trees to grow because they don't like wet feet. They want to be dry, well-drained. They're native to North Carolina and the high ground of North Carolina elevation. So they like the cold weather. They're very good with that. And they have a very late bud break, which is good for this climate because we get a lot of the cold snaps around, you know, right before Memorial Day. If you get a hard freeze, then that will freeze the new growth of some of the trees off. And that's some of the problems with the hybrids, as they break bud too early. So.
Now, what about tree maintenance? I know there's a lot involved in maintaining a tree farm. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, that starts usually early April. We're both planting trees and fertilizing. That's usually when our fertilizing does. So everything is fertilized. There is some spraying involved certain times of the year for, mainly our biggest concern is spider mites and aphids in the trees. Relatively selective, non-toxic that we're spraying. That's changed over the 50 years. I mean, what they've changed with the chemicals we use. And then, of course, there's the shearing. The shearing starts around 4th of July, once that new growth has started to harden off the trees. And with the volume we've got, we try to be done by late September, early October. And you really should shear everything once a season. That forces the tree to create more buds for the following year, and it gives it that uniform shape. So we're always working the leaders and the shearing. And then there's also mowing. We probably mow all these sections four times a season, plus some herbicides trying to keep the weeds and the competition down between the trees. So there's a lot involved.
It sounds like it. And you were talking about cut your own versus pre-cut. I know you offer both here. Is it sort of an equal situation or?
That depends on the season. It depends, like right now with a lot of snow, we've seen the cut your own drop off quite a bit. If it's a nice year, which we've had, one year we had to shut it down because we had so many people in there. I was worried about not having anything left. That was by 10 years ago. But for the most part, it's about a 50-50 blend, you know, and I say most of it's weather-related and cold-related at this point.
Like today, it's pretty cold out there.
Very, yes.
Yeah. And what about tagging your tree in advance? How does that work?
We have a lot of people that come in and pre-tag the tree, and they They give us the date they want it cut. So we usually cut it and have it wrapped for them when they come in. And then there's another group of people that want to tag their tree and then come in with the family and cut it. So we have both of those going on. I have two separate areas. There's one area we don't allow cut your own in, so that's easier to monitor and maintain. And it's also where we take a lot of our wholesale trees out of those areas. So just from them, we have about a 50-acre plate lot here where we do the cut your own.
So does that mean you can tag your tree anytime you want? Is this mostly in the summer or fall?
They start right around Labor Day.
Okay.
And usually for the most part, the areas are going to tag, and we try to have those sheared by that time. So, yeah.
And what about other Christmas products? What else do you sell here?
Oh, we sell wreaths, kissing balls, garland, bundles of boughs. We also wholesale both of those too. We wholesale wreaths and trees. And of course, we'll probably get into the nursery end of the business too. So we dig a lot of trees also.
And you make the wreaths here?
Oh, all of them made right here,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got about, I think it's about 12, mostly gals that come in here. Some are stay-at-home moms that work during the day. Some are extra Christmas money, so they come in the evenings and stuff. So, but it's a good group. I've had the same group for probably 25 years that come in.
Oh, wow,
so,
that's great.
So it's almost like family.
Yeah. And you just touched on landscaping. Tell us about the other things you do at other times of the year in terms of your nursery business, your landscaping business. I know you have a berry picking.
Oh, yeah. We have about an acre of blueberries, pick your own blueberries. We have two high tunnel greenhouses, which we grow tomatoes in, which we a number of local restaurants we supply, and a couple of the orchards around, we supply the tomatoes for them. So.
And landscaping, is that another part of your business?
Oh, the landscaping is probably, after Christmas, the biggest part of the business. We mainly tree installations, design work, that type of stuff. And we have usually two crews of guys that are out doing the installations. So my son, Jared, kind of spearheads that end of it.
Great. So it's really a family,
yes.
A family business for sure.
We've got three different tree spades, so we can dig a variety of trees, different sizes. Yeah.
Great. You mentioned earlier when you and I were talking about an environmental stewardship program that you have here. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. We work with the USDA and NRCS. The stewardship program is woodlot management, because on the farm also there's probably 100 acres of woodlots we've got here. So we're in a grant program where we maintain about 5 acres a year. And we also put in a pollinator habitat in the backfield, which is about a half an acre, when we killed all the native vegetation off, and then we put wildflowers. So, and that's a pretty good program. It goes for about 5 years, and then they may renew it. We have to, you know, reseed it, to say.
You know. So you're planting wildflowers for pollinators.
For pollinators.
So, yes, yes.
And then the other key is you can't mow it. So we can't mow it until after the first hard freeze. So
right. We
leave it for the summer, yeah.
And what about an irrigation project, I understand you're starting?
Yeah, we've been about 4 years in the making with Fulton County Soil and Water. It's going to be about an acre pond that we're going to put in, and it's going to be able to irrigate about 40, 45 acres of this front field. And it's under the Climate Resilient Program. What we're finding is that the rainfall per year is the same, but when we get it, it's not the same. You're getting either a lot at once or none of it. And we tend to lose a lot of transplants in the spring if it's prolonged dry periods. Once they're established, they're fine. If you get 2 or 3 years in, the trees are fine. They can sustain it, but the transplants are very vulnerable. And especially like last year, we had so much rain early on. The trees put out so much growth. And I think once it dried off, the roots couldn't sustain the volume of growth they had on the top. So this is going to be good. They're supposed to start that in the spring, and I'm pretty excited about that.
And that will help you maintain control over there. Yes.
Yeah, and it may not have to be used every year, but you get the right year, you'll be set up to do it, and it'll we'll be able to irrigate the new plantings for a couple of years.
Right. So we talked about which trees are kind of best for which purposes, but what's the best way to care for your Christmas tree once you get it home? Maybe you can give us some do's and don'ts here.
Oh, the best thing is a fresh cut in the bottom when you get it, and lots of fresh water. Warm water, they say, will help with the sap. As far as preservatives, I've heard a lot of things. There was a study done by the Christmas Tree Association, and they found that the best thing to do is a fresh cut with lots of water. But I know there's a lot of tales out there about aspirin and sugar and salt. But I still think the best thing is a fresh cup, plenty of water. And don't let it run dry.
Right.
They say once a stand runs dry, that sap will seal up in 3 or 4 hours.
Wow. So you can go all natural here, just water. You don't need any...
A little trick we took one time, somebody had run dry, and I suggested taking a cordless drill and drilling below the water line, because the water's taken up under that cambium layer, the bark. So the wood of the tree doesn't take the water up, but it's right below there. And they called back afterwards and said, yeah, all of a sudden the tree started taking water up again. So if your tree stand runs out of water, that'd be a little trick to try.
I didn't know about that one. That's a good one. And what about once the season is over, what's the best way to dispose of your tree? I guess there's several ways to dispose of your tree.
A lot of people will have a mulch, or they'll run through a chipper and use them as mulch. We've had a lot of people come in. There's some local goat farms that they want to feed the trees to. As long as they have had colorant on them or certain, I think we talked about tinsel or stuff like that, they'd be pretty clean for the goats to eat. A couple of local established rounds have Christmas tree burning parties, which is a festive. A couple of the breweries and stuff will do that. But that's
great idea. I've not heard of a Christmas tree burning party. Yeah. I think we need to start that tradition.
I think they sell some beer with it too. So
of course they do. And of course you sell the bags that you can take the tree down with. I know you have a lot of accessories here as well for the
tree stands, all that.
Right. And now onto Farm Bureau for a moment. You're one of our biggest proponents of our safety group 486, which is our group coverage for workers' compensation. Maybe you can tell us how that happened. And
we were at a trade show probably 10 years ago, and we had a booth with other business set up there, the BTF Wholesale, which is supplies other tree farms with the ribbon netting and all that. But right next to us is a Farm Bureau booth, and I see this safety program, and that's been one of our biggest expenses over the years, was workers' comp. And it was one of the best moves we ever made. It cut our workers' comp in half.
Wow.
I'll give a plug to Michelle Bates. She's been great anytime I've had any questions. And I really push it to any of the farmers that I talk to. If they have a payroll and they have to carry workers' comp, definitely look into it. It's a big savings. And there's also a rebate at every season if there's been no claims. Very happy with it.
Yeah, the dividend has been very successful for us. Yes, that's great.
And I'm on the Ag and Farmland Protection Board, so in all the meetings, I always give a little blurb about it. Any of the farms that are looking for it. So
great. Well, maybe you can tell us when you're open, what days of the week, and your hours. It's certainly not too late to get a Christmas tree.
This time of year, we're open 7 days a week, and it's 8 to 7, except on Sundays we close at 6. Our only downtime around here is usually January, February, March, but we do a lot of maintenance around here too. We're always cleaning up the farms, the areas that we want to replant for the spring, so we're trying to get those ready to go. But
so it's fair to say this is a 365 business here. You're not, it's not just Christmas trees.
So,
thank you so much for joining us, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
For generations, New York's farms have been the backbone of our state, feeding our families and fueling our economy. And for over 100 years, New York Farm Bureau has been the voice of agriculture, advocating for the hardworking men and women who cultivate our land. You can be part of a powerful movement protecting our farms, supporting rural communities, and growing a stronger New York. There's no better time to be a member. Join today at nyfb.org or call 1-800-342-4143 and press 0.